primary challengers gear up for the start of early voting. We'll have a breakdown of the races. A new program seeks to ensure new moms and babies are off to a healthy start. And a new show aims to teach Arkansans how to cook and maintain healthy eating habits. Those stories and more are coming up this week on the News Wrap from the Arkansas Newsroom. I'm Daniel Brain, News Director of Little Rock Public Radio. Each week, we're recapping the top stories from all across the natural state. We'll unpack the headlines, share exclusive insights, and provide the context you need to fully grasp the issues that matter most to Arkansans. That's this week on the Arkansas News Wrap, coming up right after the news from NPR. This is the Arkansas News Wrap. I'm Daniel Breen with Little Rock Public Radio. We are less than a week away from early voting starting here in Arkansas. Voters will see nonpartisan races and some primary challenges on their ballot. KUAF's Matthew Moore spoke with Roby Brock with Talk Business and Politics to break them down.
And Roby, there's a few elections that we're going to spend some time kind of talking about, looking at. We've got two special elections, one that's happening in a Senate district in Franklin County, one that's a House district in North Little Rock. Maybe let's start there if we can.
Okay, sure. The special elections are interesting. We're at the special general election portion of all of this now. We've been through a special primary. One of the Senate race had a special runoff, and now we're at the general election to where that's all lined up. Basically, you have got Brad Simon is the Republican that won that primary in Senate District 26 to replace the late Gary Stubblefield, who passed away. He faces Adam Watson, who is an independent. The Democrats did not field an opponent in that race, and so Simon versus Watson will be the primary day general special general election matchup, if you can kind of keep all that straight there. And then down in North Little Rock, Carlton Wing vacated his seat to take over what was Arkansas PBS, now Arkansas TV. There is a Democrat and a Republican in that race. It'll be Holiday the Democrat versus Renshaw the Republican in that one, so we'll watch for the outcome of that. That's the two special elections that sync up with the primaries, but there's a lot of activity on the primary front if you want to run through some of those.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. First of all, just kind of at the statewide level, you've got some primary races for governor and for Senate, U.S. Senate, on the Democratic side. So you've got Supa Sapras-Mays versus State Senator Fred Love as the two Democrats vying for the nomination for governor to challenge incumbent Sarah Sanders. You have got Ethan Dunbar and Hallie Schaffner on the Democratic side for the primary for the U.S. Senate race to probably oppose Tom Cotton. He's got two primary opponents this time, which are both not names anybody would know of, and I don't anticipate any problems for Senator Cotton. So I think on the Democratic side, we'll be watching those races for governor and Senate to see who wins the nominations to challenge in the fall. And those will be big races. There's also a Secretary of State and a Commissioner of State Lands Republican primary that we'll be keeping our eyes on there, too. And don't forget, there is a Supreme Court race, Nick Brawny versus John Adams is on the ballot too. And that one's a big one and could have some statewide implications just in terms of Brawny's pretty conservative candidate there. Adams a little bit more moderate to progressive. So there's definitely some judicial philosophy differences in that race. And then there's a number of state legislative primaries to watch across the state. We can talk about some of those too if you want to.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one that's probably of most interest to our listeners here in Northwest Arkansas is the race for the Senate district that incumbent Brian King holds right now. He's got a challenger in that race, and we have seen quite a bit of mailers coming out, a lot of social media conversations around this race. Why do you think this one is such a contested race in that way?
Yeah, State Senator Brian King, the incumbent that you mentioned, has this Republican challenge from Bobby Ballinger, whose father, Brian King, defeated. So you just got some interesting family dynamics there. But it's also a race where Governor Sarah Sanders and some of her political apparatus have played in that race. Senator Brian King, obviously a huge opponent of the Franklin County prison. And I think that Ballinger is benefiting from the governor's, you know, political forces with some of the money and all this political communication that you're talking about with social media and direct mail. I'm sure there's probably some stealth radio going on here and there as well. So that's a really interesting race to watch. And I honestly, it's a coin toss. I mean, I don't know who wins that one. It's kind of it's almost a matchup of the last time around, but it's a different Ballinger candidate there. That type of race is playing out over in East Arkansas too. State Senator Ron Caldwell is facing a primary challenge from a guy who goes by Bodert, Bohannon, I think is his last name. And that's another one where Senator Caldwell has been in some opposition to the governor on some of her policies, and there's a candidate that's been fielded to run against him on that one. So there are some interesting, you know, Republican primary races going on that might have some effect in the legislature.
And from what I can tell, it seems like in these Republican primaries, we're seeing people run farther to the right of the incumbents in these races. Does that seem fair to say?
I think that's fair to say. Again, we're in the age of Donald Trump, and this is where the Make America Great Again, the MAGA movement, has positioned Republican politics. It's kind of a, can you get further, who can get farthest to the right on some things, which is probably not great for a governing style, but it is kind of the magic formula for trying to win a Republican primary in Arkansas. Now you kind of have to go to those extremes. It's not like what you might see in a more liberal state like a California or New York, where Democrats might square off against each other and the more liberal Democrat might have a better chance of winning the Democratic primary versus in the general election. I think you've got the same kind of calculus here with the Republican primary and the way it's working. So yeah, I think your observation's spot on.
Well, speaking of Republican primaries, we're seeing a new rule that has been put in place for this election cycle, for this primary cycle. Listeners of Ozarks at Large will know we spoke to Jennifer Price earlier this month about the kind of the logistics and how that will happen. Can you give us just a quick TLDR of what's changed for the primaries and how that could affect people going to vote during the cycle?
So the rule was passed by the Republican Party of Arkansas's state committee. It's not a state law. It's just a rule that they passed that prohibits anybody who's registered as a Democrat from voting in the Republican primary. But a voter can change their party affiliation to Republican, or if they want to, prior to the election or even on the day of voting at the polls. Democrats don't have a similar rule prohibiting registered Republicans from voting in their primary. And this doesn't apply to independents or people who haven't picked a party affiliation, which is about 87% of the voters in the state don't even have a party affiliation. So anybody can show up and vote in a Republican primary if you want to. But if you are registered as a Democrat, if you made that declaration in your voter registration, you would have to say, I would like to switch that to Republican in order to vote in the Republican primary this year. I don't think it's going to be a big issue in this particular election cycle, because you do have those primaries for governor and U.S. Senate, and I think Democrats are going to want to try to pick their choice in that race. So they were going to be picking a Democratic ballot for the most part anyway. But if you didn't have a preference in those statewide races, you might want to vote in a Republican primary. So there is a way for you to change it, but kind of an unusual rule. I'm surprised it hasn't had some sort of legal challenge, and I suspect that it might after the primary from someone that just wants to test it. It's odd. The logic is Republicans don't want Democrats crossing over and voting in their primary and picking more extreme candidates that won't do well in the general. I don't think this is a widespread crossover problem in Arkansas. It's a little bit of a solution in search of a problem, in my estimation.
That was Ruby Brock with Talk Business and Politics, speaking with KUAF's Matthew Moore. Nurses at the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences have started calling postpartum moms across Arkansas to ensure that they and their babies are off to a healthy start. KUAF's Fallon Frank reports.
In Arkansas, the weeks and months after childbirth can be some of the most dangerous for mothers. And too often, those risks go unnoticed.
In the last rankings, Arkansas ranked number 50th out of the nation in maternal mortality.
Dr. Nirvana Manning is an OBGYN at UAMS and the chair of the Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology. She says what's even more alarming than deaths are the complications that permanently change lives. She says that patients and families have lifelong issues after delivery. Arkansas reviews every maternal death up to a year after birth, and the timing of those deaths tells a critical story.
One third of them are happening during the immediate hospitalization, which is what you kind of think of with maternal death, like some complication during delivery or immediately postpartum. About one third of those are happening in the first 6 weeks afterward. And then one third of those are happening 300 up to, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 months later.
Many of those later deaths are tied to mental health, substance use, and gaps in care, especially when insurance coverage disappears.
Over 60% of the patients that deliver in our state are on Medicaid, and they lose coverage at 60 days. So there's these gaps in care. So these patients come in with issues, but if they don't have insurance coverage, it's really hard to get the care that you need.
Dr. Manning says those gaps, in combination with stigma, often keep new moms from asking for help.
You think you should be able to do this. And so a lot of patients just don't even know to call.
That reality helped spark the idea behind UAMS's Proactive Postpartum Call Center. Dr. Manning says it's a program that doesn't wait for moms to reach out.
We wanted to do something where we meet them where they are, and so we just call everybody.
The goal is for every postpartum mom in Arkansas to receive a call. No stigma, no pressure, just support.
You may not need anything, you may need 12 things.
Healthcare providers walk through a structured questionnaire. That includes things like checking physical recovery and other basic needs.
Do you have housing? Do you have formula? Do you have diapers?
Plus, mental health checks are a key part of every conversation.
And I think postpartum anxiety is so very underdiagnosed.
Dr. Manning says too often these struggles are dismissed as normal when they're not.
This is real, that what you're going through is hard.
The Proactive Postpartum Call Center launched in spring of 2025. Now, just 8 months later, the call center has already made an impact.
67% of people have answered the phone call. 24% of them have reported an urgent maternal warning sign. And 10% have screened positive for postpartum depression.
Dr. Manning says those numbers represent lives that might otherwise have slipped through the cracks.
If we could avert some of these never events by this, I mean, we're already ahead of the game.
The program is expanding quickly, now reaching mothers far beyond UAMS. Dr. Manning says the call center is meant to be for the entire state. However, rural communities face some of the biggest challenges. And those challenges fall hardest on already vulnerable populations.
Our discrepancies in lower socioeconomic status, Black moms, I mean, the healthcare outcomes are more poor for our state, and that is a proven data point.
Still, Dr. Manning says change is possible and already happening.
There are just so many amazing people working in this space right now.
Her hope is simple and ambitious, that Arkansas can be near the top when it comes to quality of care and that patients can feel safe and heard. She says the goal is clear for new moms in Arkansas.
Them to know to advocate for themselves if they feel as though something is wrong, and to elevate that care to the next level.
And for families and communities, she says support can make all the difference.
Moms are really overwhelmed, and they get forgotten in that process.
As Arkansas works to reduce maternal deaths, Dr. Manning says the message behind the postpartum call center is simple. help shouldn't depend on who asks first.
You know, I hope that in the near future, especially as this call center touches more lives, that there is a very clear line that they know they can call for help.
Postpartum support and resources for Arkansas moms are available at myarkansasbirth.org.
That was KUAF's Fallon Frank reporting. A new show coming to Arkansas's public television network aims to showcase healthy recipes. KESU's Marty Scarborough spoke with Dr. Robert Hall and Alyssa Frisbee, both of whom will be regular presenters on Arkansas Taste Kitchen, a new program premiering on Arkansas TV early next month.
Dr. Hall, we'll actually begin with you. Give us the elevator pitch. Tell us the concept behind Arkansas Taste Kitchen.
Arkansas, compared to the rest of the United States, is relatively a depressed economy with a lot of, we're familiar with this term now, a lot of food deserts. And so how can we prepare healthy, nutritionally balanced meals in the depressed economy that we have on a real strict budget? And we're not trying to erase fast food and, air quotes, fun food, but our health, our well-being, our longevity, brain function, everything depends on what we eat. And how can we do that better? A team was put together, including myself and Alyssa, to teach these concepts in a really fun and engaging way.
Alyssa, you want to add anything else to that?
Sure. A lot of the negative health outcomes that Arkansans experience are directly related to nutrition. And we're finding that a lot of Arkansans don't have access to adequate nutrition. And sometimes that nutrition information can be really complicated. So what we're trying to do with Arkansas Taste Kitchen is show Arkansans how you can make healthy meals at home with foods that you have access to, and that nutritious eating can be affordable and it doesn't have to take a long time.
Well, Alyssa, I know there have been a lot of initiatives over the years to accomplish that very same goal, to have Arkansans eating healthier. Why do you think that a television program may have a better impact and outcome than maybe some of the other programs have done in the past?
I think combining the expertise that I have and that Chef Hall has is really valuable. We get to work with Craig O'Neill, so he makes the show entertaining. So we're delivering this kind of otherwise boring scientific education in a way that is fun and engaging. And we're hopeful that we can capture the attention span of our Arkansans and really show them how much fun this healthy cooking can be. And because we're delivering those educational pieces, it's more than just telling people what they should be doing and what they shouldn't be doing. And I'm hopeful that that'll go a long way in really being practical and relatable to Arkansans.
Well, at the beginning of our conversation, I gave your very lengthy titles that each of you have, but I'm just curious, Dr. Hall, could you tell our listeners a little bit more about your personal background and what you'll be bringing to this new television program?
I've been in commercial kitchens almost 36 years now. And I've traveled the world. I've cooked in incredibly large. I've been on the world stage. I was an executive chef at the 2008 Summer Olympics in Beijing, China. And experiences like that. I'm still a student of food. There are three certified master chefs currently in the state of Arkansas. I am one of those. But almost like a calling, I feel driven to make food accessible and easy. And even on this show, we avoid what's called chef speak. So you're not going to watch me as a chef when I'm talking about, cooking methods. I'm not using the language that we use among all the rest of us that wear my kind of white coat. We make this very accessible. I have a colorful career that I want to share, not sharing my resume, but sharing the knowledge that I've gained. And that's what I contribute to this show.
Have you ever done any work in television before this show?
I have.
Okay. Well, Alyssa, same thing. Tell me about the background that you're bringing to Arkansas Taste Kitchen.
I'm a registered and licensed dietitian. I have a master's degree in nutrition science, and that provides me with a lot of education about nutrition and healthy foods. But in my work in culinary medicine at UAMS, I really started to learn that not everybody has access to the foods that we describe as being healthy. And so you have to take that into consideration when you're making nutrition recommendations. So it would be easy for me to tell everyone that they have to eat all their fruits and veggies and lean proteins and whole grains, and that, as minimally processed as you can find is incredibly important. But that's not practical. And I really like that I get to combine the work that I do and the education that I have in sharing this information and making it easy to understand and make it more approachable when we're talking about how people can actually eat healthier to reap all the benefits of good nutrition.
Every region in the country, Arkansas included, has its own unique food culture, the ways in which we prepare meals, what people enjoy to eat. Dr. Hall, will you be bringing in some of that Arkansas food culture into what you'll be presenting on Arkansas Taste Kitchen?
I think one of the most interesting things to that question, Marty, to me, one of the most interesting things about food in Arkansas is we are a melting pot of the rest of the country. And so what is Arkansas food? Man, that is a difficult thing to define. What we have done is try to define the dishes that most people eat, modify them to be a little more healthful approach. And then my focus is teaching a cooking method. And if we focus on cooking methods independent of the specific dish that we're cooking, and the viewers walk away with understanding that method can be applied to, I mean, an infinite number of dishes and foods. You just swap in and out the ingredients that you like. Then we're not focusing on soul food, or we're not focusing on Southern barbecue. We're not focusing on regional type things. We're teaching cooking method. That's really what people want to know without knowing that's what they're asking when they say, "I want to learn how to cook."
That was Dr. Robert Hall and Alyssa Frisby speaking about their new show, Arkansas Taste Kitchen. They spoke with KASU's Marty Scarborough. And that's it for this week. The Arkansas News Wrap is brought to you by the Arkansas Newsroom, a collaboration between KUAF in Fayetteville, KASU in Jonesboro, and Little Rock Public Radio. You can find this week's episode on any of our station's websites. Until next time, I'm Daniel Brain, and this is the Arkansas News Wrap.